seated at the table where I don't belong. That's good news, friends. While I'm thinking of it, let's pray over that offering. Father, we thank you for the good gifts that you give us. And we do pray, God, that you would use Keystone Opportunity Center, use these gifts to further your kingdom, to bring hope to those who desperately need it. God, we ask that you would bless them as an organization. They are your hands and feet here with us, and we link arms. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I am Pastor Wes. I am a youth pastor over at Grace Bible Church and Indian Valley Nursery School across the way. And it's my honor to open God's Word this morning. Or obviously, we're taking a look at Isaiah. And we're going to dig right in. But this piece, these verses here in Isaiah are in what's called the Isaiah Apocalypse. Kind of mishmashed in here. And frankly, if you go ahead and read, there's a whole lot of crazy bad stuff going on. And this is like an island of hope in an otherwise dismal looking situation. And as I was preparing, there's some statements here that we've already read this morning. Some big statements. It speaks of an invitation to a lavish banquet. It explains a burial cloth, a shroud of death, will be cast away someday. It pronounces that death will be swallowed up and overtaken with life. We read of a day when the Lord will return in his fullness to wipe away every tear from every eye. Is that good news? Certainly was good news to the Israelites. The Lord will take away his people's disgrace. It speaks of hope and salvation. It speaks of a Messiah who will come and rescue the day. These statements seem to be the thing of dreams. As I was reading this, I thought about, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, as he gave his famous speech, "I Have a Dream." Right? The Isaiah the prophet is sent by God. And I think he was helping these Israelites who have been beat down and oppressed to dream again. So that first statement, here we see an invitation to a banquet in verse 6. On this mountain, what's that mountain? It's Mount Zion. It's Jerusalem. It's the junction between heaven and earth. And right here, we see the Lord himself meeting the people, setting a table, a glorious feast. This party is going to be a party for the ages. The best of food, the best of drink, the best of company. And according to the prophet, everyone, Randy mentioned it, everyone is invited. You know, when you think of big old parties, I think, you know, like Bruce Wayne, Batman. You know, it's the hoity-toity, the rich of the rich. They just put on parties for each other, and I'll get next month, you know. And the normal folk, they don't get invited to that. This banquet is not normal because it has a host who is not normal, who is not ordinary. The host is the Lord himself, the King of Kings, Israel's Messiah, is going to throw a welcome home party for his kids. They just need to keep trusting and get there. And it's such good news to them. Verse 7, on this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples. A shroud is a covering often made of animal skin that is wrapped around the deceased's body for protection, for spiritual reverence, and preparation for burial. And this clearly was something that the Jewish people did as a burial custom. So in light of this, Isaiah prophesies that the promised Messiah, the one that's coming, will destroy the shroud that enfolds all the people. Maybe we could envision like being surrounded by a shroud, being separated from God, being separated from our community here in Souderton. And the shroud represents that physical death, that separation from God. But it was in the death of Jesus at Calvary that God destroyed that shroud. Remember, it was torn from the top to the bottom, a 4-inch shroud. No man, that was no stunt. No man could do that. God himself ripped that shroud, tore it in two. When Jesus gave up his spirit, the temple shroud tore in two. And in the resurrection of Jesus, death was swallowed up in victory when Jesus defeated hell. One day there will be no more faces covered with mourning veils. Is that good news? It's good news, isn't it? Verse 8. He will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away every tear from every eye. There will be no more shame, no more questioning whether we're worthy of God's love. Anybody ever struggle with that? Anybody ever wonder whether I'm really worthy of God's love? I know I do. There'll be no more shame. God's people will know that they're worthy of love. There will be no more humiliation because God's great enemy, the Satan, who deals in lies and condemnation, will be exposed for who he is, a fraud. And in the light of truth, God's people will live freely. Face to face with the Lord Almighty. That is some good news. That's the gospel, friends. And verse 9 speaks of salvation and trust in God. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. And I love how Isaiah paints that picture of their trust in God, right? They're thinking about where they've been, this journey to Jerusalem, to Zion, in the midst of all their troubles, in the midst of probably hopelessness at times, right? It's this hope is becoming reality. We probably have a hard time thinking about this. This doesn't characterize most of our lives as we sit out here, does it? That kind of oppression, being slaves. But this is good news to the Israelites, and it's good news to us as we think about the future. It's fun to think about what it's going to be like in the presence of King Jesus, in his kingdom. To live in his kingdom where his will is being done. Think about that. What would life look like if King Jesus' will was being done here and now? We get a little taste of it. I think it looks something like what's going on out here. But it's also going to be a place where our will is going to be exactly God's will. I don't know about you, but that sure is good news to me. Because I spend a lot of my time in my life trying to fight the old man off. Trying to submit to God. There's going to be complete trust. And therefore, no desire to sin. It'll be a place where justice reigns. Where everyone has what they need. And then some. Where we're reunited with those who have gone before us. I was thinking, like, how cool would that be to... We're going to have a chance to talk to the Israelites and ask them, what was that like? What was it like to live this life, to be slaves, to be set free? It's crazy to think about that. But we'll be living in peace and unity and healthy relationships and healthy bodies. It's good news for our future, friends. But what about now? What about now? What about today? What about after you get up and limp to your car with your chair and go on living today? Probably like many of you, I grew up with a similar story. We probably share some story here. I was about 6 when I was introduced to Jesus, and I said a prayer and invited Jesus into my heart. Good thing. Had been introduced to him. And I probably, like some of you, prayed probably another 500 or so times as a child because I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to make sure I got that right. Right? I wanted that assurance of salvation. But as I grew and I kept studying scripture, I began to realize that the story didn't totally add up. It felt like there were missing pieces, that it was incomplete. And as I've gotten to know Jesus and understood more of his teaching, what I've begun to understand is that the gospel is bigger than I ever thought. There's more good news than just getting to go to heaven when we die, slogging through this life, enduring it. Oh, just to get to heaven. If I could just get to heaven, I can pull away from this world and just make it. But when Jesus started his teaching ministry, he came proclaiming what? The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. It's here and it's here now. Jesus brought it. When he became man, he incarnated and he came and he brought heaven and he joined heaven to earth to show us how to be a real human, how to live. What is that? What did that really look like? God's intention for Adam and Eve before they took things into their own hands and sinned. So Jesus came as the new Adam, the sinless human. And he showed us how to lovingly live with one another. He showed us what it looked like to submit to his Father's goodwill, his good plan for life. And Jesus taught us how to pray and how to listen to the Father. And then he demonstrated what it looked like to trust and to obey him. John 14, Jesus says in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Friends, getting to heaven requires us to enter Jesus' training school. If we want to be fully human, we can be fully human now. We can be on that road. If you want to be saved and transformed in order to be fully alive, we need to take the Holy Spirit up on his invitation to change us, to empower us. We can ask him. Have you asked him? Holy Spirit, would you change me? Would you change my heart now? And then we have to obey, don't we? God's invitation to kingdom life is for now. It's for today. Because as Ecclesiastes 3:11 states, God has set eternity in the human heart. This invitation to the banquet requires the transformation of our whole selves. That's what God is up to. He wants to transform the whole of us to make us like him, to give us his heart, his good Father heart. Our good Father's desire is that by the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's to heal the broken humanity in us, and it's to train us to be like Jesus. And Jesus shows us how to live as a real human. We read about his training in the Gospels. He gets away. He has silence and solitude. He prays. He's intimately connected with his Father. These spiritual practices are to be helpful to us in this journey. He demonstrated these things because he wants to tune our hearts to eternity. Not to just look far off to heaven and simply endure living now, but to follow Jesus in his overall way of life, here and now, to experience the with God life. And to be the church means to do this together, doesn't it? To create a community of people living out on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. That's good news, friends. Good news to us, because life is going to get easier as we get trained into Jesus' ways. We won't get kicked around by our sin. We won't want to sin. Less and less that'll happen. And we'll become more like Jesus. Is that good news? It's good news for our community, too. Because if we're transforming and we're running into our community, what's going to happen? You think they're going to notice something different about those church people, those peculiar people? They're going to run into us. They're going to get a taste of good life, good people, and they're going to wonder what's going on here. And we might just have an opportunity to share an invitation for them, an invite to follow Jesus, get to know him. Be a lot of people floating around after the service to chat with. Anybody who'd like to be chatted with. So I encourage you to do that. But know this, that wherever you are, whatever you've done, whatever you haven't done, this invitation to God's banquet stands. It stands for us. It stands for you. That's the good news of the gospel, friends. We have a good Father. He's inviting us to the table. I'm going to pray, and I think our worship team's going to come on up. Will you join me? God, you are good. This picture of the kingdom, the picture of kingdom living, this idea of being invited to the table, maybe carried to the table, is just beautiful to our hearts, God, as we suffer in this life. But we want to, rather than pulling away and running away and hiding and enduring life, God, we want to enter into this suffering that you did, this invitation to transformation. We want our lives to look like yours, Jesus. We need them to. Our community needs them to. Pray for your help. We love you. And all God's people said, amen.